2 Timothy chapter 4. Billy, I've got to watch your grandbabies grow up too. They turned into some real special kids you got there. I know they're here tonight, but I still would say if they weren't here, those kids are special. They're precious to me. I think they're jewels from heaven. I miss them. I'm glad when they're here. I miss Billy and I really miss the kids. Amen. Amen. I miss them all. I miss Mel and Big Billy and everyone. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 through 8. Let's stand for reading God's Word. Glad you're here tonight. We wanted to get some motorcycle. We wanted to spice that picture up today. I had it planned with Sean and we're going to bring our Harleys and we were going to put them in the picture too. But it rained. We got rained out, and I thought somebody would get mad if I put one up on the platform here, so I told Sean to leave it home. Maybe next picture, Sean. Wouldn't that have been cool to have each one of them Harleys on each side of this thing with me in the middle? Actually, Susan, Sean says a picture. We want you to get on a big Harley, my dad's, and get a picture that way and say, come and rev up with us, you know? I'm glad we can have joy in the Lord. We get that new building built. I told John, you could bring 300 motorcycles out to that church, new church building. We got plenty of land to put motorcycles on. Amen? Alrighty. Watch out. If you have a Harley, be careful. Don't let those Hondas get close to them. They'll give them a disease and they break down. Actually, I don't know if it was a Honda. I think it was a Jack. It might have been someone else. It might have been someone that was right on the back that caused the problem. Okay. I can't hear. Sometimes it really does work. 2 Timothy chapter 4, you got your Bible? I'm gonna try to give you a truth that I want you just to think about tonight. I'm not going to say anything that you've never heard, but I've got a truth that you don't think about very often, and the truth is the greatest day of your life. I want you to think about that truth tonight after you go home. Notice what it says in 2 Timothy 4, 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. The Apostle Paul said, I know I'm getting ready to die. I'm ready to die. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Man. That's a guy that stayed in the race. Amen. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do you look for him to come? Will you love it when he comes? He's got a reward for you, if you will. Heavenly Father, I thank you for our perfect Bible that you've given to us, this old King James Bible. Thank you for the life of the Apostle Paul. And I pray tonight as we think about him getting near the end of his life, Lord, help us to learn from the scriptures about the greatest day of our life. We ask your blessings and may everything I say be bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, blot out anything that I'm not supposed to say and help me to say everything I'm supposed to say. Father, let me omit nothing. And Father, I just want to tell you we love you and we praise you tonight. And Lord, we just thank you and we pray you'll bless all our country, bless our soldiers, men and women both over in Iraq and all over the world. God bless our dear soldiers that are protecting our country. And Lord, bless our president and Lord, bless our country. Help our country to turn back to you. Lord, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This evening, I want to talk to you about the greatest day of your life. And I want to pose a question. Are you ready? Are you ready for the greatest day of your life? I believe some people are not ready for the greatest day of their life. Matthew, the Bible teaches us, We need to be ready in this life to live or ready to die. We ought to be ready to give an answer to the hope that's in us. But are we ready also to be able to look at Jesus face to face when we die? Amen? Already the third thing, not only do we have to be ready in life, ready in death, we need to be ready for the rapture in case it would happen. Amen? Matthew 24:44, just stay where you're at though. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. I'm glad Jesus is coming. I know this is a tribulation passage, and that scripture there is actually referring to the revelation when Christ comes back. But I'm going to tell you, I'm just glad he's coming back for you and I, what they call the mystery, the rapture. Amen? You know, James 4:14 teaches us our life is but a vapor. We know that what tomorrow, we know not what tomorrow might bring. I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. You don't either. You know, we could be here today and we could be gone tomorrow. Who knows? No one knows but the Lord. That's why we must be ready to face anything that comes to us, whether it be life or death, at any time and any place. In 2 Timothy 4:6, the Apostle Paul said he was ready to die. Let me pose this question to you. Are you ready to die? The Apostle Paul said he was ready to meet God. Are you ready to meet God? There are some serious issues, though, I thought about when a person dies that a person must face at the end of their life. Let me give you a few thoughts tonight. Number one, at death, one must face the reality that death is the gateway to eternity. Death, they must face, when someone dies, see, a lot of people believe that if they die, it ends right there. They think, oh, if I die, it's all over. No, no. See, death is only the gateway to enter into eternity. When a person dies, things just don't stop. Things don't cease from being. Believe me, when you die, you leave this time age and you step out in eternity where there is no time. When you die, you step out of time and you enter eternity where things go on forever without end. Like you're all excited. You know eventually preacher will get done preaching tonight, okay? You know, without end. But in heaven, if I started preaching, there would be no end to it. Amen? You'll get it. At death, the reality of heaven and hell, I want you to get this thought with me. The reality of heaven and hell is so overwhelming because you'll be in places that you never thought you'd be, because you'll be in one of those places seconds after your heart stops beating. If you're saved, you'll be in the splendor of heaven. If you're lost, you'll be in the dungeon of hell. But think with me. Do you ever think about, people don't think about the reality of eternity. They don't think about the reality of death. Are you with me? I just had a sister die, I mentioned, 2 weeks ago, tomorrow. The reality of death, I wasn't planning on my nephew calling me and say, hey, Mom died. But when he called, my sister died, the reality of death set in real quick with me. It's a shame that someone has to die, makes the reality of death set in with us. The reality of death ought to always be present with us. I'm not saying to live a life of fear. I'm saying we should realize that our life could end at any time. And our loved ones, if they're not saved or are they saved, they could still be ended at any time. Now notice, stay with me. Listen, when you die, you close your eyes to this life. And you open up your eyes either to the splendor of heaven or the sufferings of hell. Boy, Eddie, I know my sister Leslie made a lot of professions of faith. And boy, I'm glad that she told my brother she was ready. Because when they called me, I wasn't positive. And I thought, oh my, I sure hope my sister's not in torment right now. Because the moment she took her last breath, she went out to eternity. And by the way, any of your friends or your family, the moment they take, or you, when you take your last breath, you're going to go out in eternity too. It's that quick. You're going to leave this time, this earth, and you either, can you imagine, Eddie, just a few seconds? I mean, the heart stops beating, and that soul and spirit leaves, and they either awaken in the glory of heaven, or they wake in the dungeon of hell? Wouldn't that be terrifying? Wouldn't you think that's a shocker? Boy, that's when reality really sets in, isn't it? Sorry, but for the lost people, the reality can never be changed. It's forever sealed. Stay with me. Death brings a reality check to all the things. Listen to this. Young people, listen to this. Death brings a reality check to all the things you've heard and have been taught in this life. You're going to remember everything you were taught in this life. You will remember the things in your lifetime. Don't turn to it. I'm just going to quote to it. In Luke 16, I read it this morning. The rich man died, opened up his eyes in torment. But when you get to verse 25, Abraham says to the rich man, remember that thou in thy lifetime. When people die, the reality of what they heard, what they were shown, the truth that was brought to them, that reality of everything that they got in this life, is they're going to remember that. When you, at the end of a person's life, the reality of death is going to challenge people with two questions. What did you do with your life? And what did you do with Christ? Are you still with me, church? Listen, the prophet Amos 4:12, he spoke to the nation Israel and he said, prepare to meet thy God. I would to God that everyone would be prepared to meet thy God. The message still goes out today. Because in Hebrews 9:27 it says, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. I'm going to tell you, every person in this world better get prepared to meet God, because they're going to meet Him. Not just Israel. All mankind is going to meet the Maker, the Creator of the world, Jesus, the Son of God. Can anyone say amen? Listen, when a person's life ends and the reality of death sets in, then they realize the most important thing in their life was not what they did for fun in their life, but what they did to prepare to die. Get this. When a person dies, they will realize the most important thing in their life was the preparation, not so much to live, but what they prepared to die. If the question were asked to you or your family members or other members and friends that you know, here's a question I want to pose to you. What is the greatest day of your life? If I interviewed 150 people and said, I want one by one, I want you to come to my office, and I'm going to ask you what the greatest day of your life was. Some would probably say, well, preacher, it was the day I was born. Some might say, the day I graduated from high school or college, because that's it. That's a crowning day. Amen? Some might say, and I think many would say, the day I got married. When God gave me my precious wife. I think that would be one of the answers that people would say. Some might say, the day we had our first child. I was talking to Brother Harold this afternoon. I talked to him on the phone this afternoon. And I said, they're going to try to wait so later this week to have the baby. They're going I think they said Tuesday she'll be 34 weeks, I think, or 37. I can't remember. Anyways, they're trying to wait for a few more days. They got her stabilized, Miss Karen stabilized, and so you pray for her every day. And the more days we can get, the more that little baby's lungs can be more developed, and everything will go well for her and the baby. Amen. But I said your little baby's gonna be so cute, because it's not gonna look like Harold. And I said you're just gonna love that. I said you know, you ever know the guy through the window? That one's mine. That one's mine. Take it home though. Hey honey, the kid's got a diaper change ready. Some might would say the most important day in their life, the greatest day in their life, was the day they hit the lottery. I'll never have that because I don't play the lottery, never did, never will. Some might say the day they bought their first home or their first car or their first motorcycle. Some people love their cars, love their motorcycles, and they might say that might was the greatest day. Some might say that the greatest day they ever had was the day they were hired in their job that they worked for 35 years and retired from. You know, people love their where they work. You'd be surprised what people's answers would be. They would say, some might say the greatest day in life was the day that they came home from the service when the war ended. The greatest day I ever had was the day that I survived the car wreck when everything was demolished and I still survived. Some might say the greatest day I ever had was the day that I had open heart surgery and my heart stopped, but they brought me back. And boy, that was the greatest day of my life. Some might say the greatest day of their life was when they were baptized or confirmed. Some might say to us, you that are in sports, the greatest, I can say you met someone that played the Olympics and they won some gold medals. You say, what would be the greatest day of your life? And many would say, oh, that's easy for me, the day I won those 5 gold medals over there in Germany or in Munich where we had it. And so you'd be surprised how many different answers people get. Some might say the greatest day of my life was when we became world champions in baseball or the Super Bowl or football or hockey. Or maybe they became a world champion in boxing and they would display their big belt. Hey, look at me, I'm world champion boxer of the world. Or maybe they would show their rings and say, see these rings? These are Super Bowl rings. That's the greatest day of my life. Are you still with me? How many of you can understand what I'm trying to say to you? Some people might, people from all walks of life and all different places in the world might give countless answers to this question, what is the greatest day of your life? I don't think you could probably write books on what people would answer what would be the greatest day of their life. What would be the greatest day of your life? People, they would say, well, the day that I was promoted and became the CEO of this big company. Oh, it just goes on and on. I noted trophies, gold medals, degrees, money, homes, cars, boats, travel around the world might be exciting and might bring some exciting days to one's life and might bring some joy and pleasure for a short season. But when this life ends and the reality of death comes, and when a person realizes that they no longer have another day of opportunity to prepare to meet God, at death they will realize for the most important day of their life, they should have been preparing to die to meet God. Listen, heaven is a reality. Hell is a reality. Life and death are realities. Death comes. Before death comes, a person should be ready to die. Jesus said in John 14:2, I go to prepare a place for you. You know, heaven's a prepared place, I mentioned this morning, for prepared people. People just don't die and go to heaven. The average world, people think that, though. Well, I hope I make it there, preacher. You know, wise people prepare to go to heaven. Wise people prepare to die. To die and go out in eternity because they know they're going to go someday. I noted this. Let's listen to this. Think with me on this. It's amazing people will prepay, and I'm not against this. People will prepay for their funerals. They'll prepare their burials. They'll pay for their funeral expenses. They'll buy grave lots, headstones, make out wills, buy life insurance policies. Are you still with me? Yet they do not they prepare to die, but they do not prepare for death. Yet they do not prepare for death beyond the grave. Life does not stop at death. At death, you step out of time and enter into eternity, and your eternal soul that God gave you lives on forever. I just wrote a scripture Genesis 2:7, and the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground, breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. You see, there was a time that you and I did not exist. Before we were born, we didn't exist. Oh, I know we existed in God's mind, but as far as you and I, we did not exist. There was a time that you did not exist, but since you've been born, there'll never be a time that you cease to exist. Death is only a gateway to eternity, and what you do with Jesus Christ determines your eternity. Now notice, to you personally, the greatest day of your life should be the day you depart from this life. The greatest day of your life should be the day that you depart from this life. Listen, but for the majority of the mankind, it will not be the greatest day of their life. It'll be the worst day they've ever experienced for eternity. 2 Timothy 4:6, Paul said, I am now ready, and the time of my departure is at hand. Paul was ready to depart because he placed his faith and trust in Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. If you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, you're not ready to depart. You're at the railroad station without the ticket to board. And Jesus saying, all aboard, all aboard. Get on the gospel train. Paul was ready to depart. He placed his faith and trust in Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Paul said in Timothy 1:12, for I know whom I believed, and am persuaded that he, Christ, is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. What did he commit? He committed his eternal soul. He said, God, I'm going to trust you to save my soul and take me to heaven when I die and save me from hell. Now listen to me. Paul trusted Jesus on the road to Damascus, Acts 9, verse 5 and 6, to save his soul from hell and take him to heaven when he died. Paul was ready to die because he prepared to live in heaven after he died. Stay with me. Paul prepared for the greatest day in Paul's life to come, the day he trusted Christ as his personal Savior. Listen, the day he trusted Christ as his personal Savior, the Apostle Paul, he was preparing for the greatest day that was to come in the future. The greatest day in my life is yet to come. The greatest day in my life is yet to come. But I have made arrangements and preparations for that day because I have trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Now, the greatest day in anyone's life should be when they enter into heaven. But to do that, they must be born again. Are you with me? Stay with me. I'm working on a thought here. If you die without Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you forfeit your opportunity to have the greatest day of your life. If you die without Jesus as your personal Savior, your greatest day will never come. And you will be subject to the wrath of God, John 3:36, and the agony and pain and the torture from the eternal nightmare of hell. You ever think about that? Remember how we always say we got a better day coming? If you don't get saved, you don't have a better day coming. It's sad and too late when people die, especially for our family members and friends who are not prepared, who are not saved. They die and are plunged into hell's fire. And as we stand before their casket, we know they are. We know they didn't get saved. We know they never trusted Christ their Savior. We know that hell's real. We know that heaven's a reality, that hell's a reality, that death is a reality. And so we look in their casket and the reality of death says, now, wake up. There is a reality of death. And we know as we look at that person that we cared about, that isn't saved, we know, or we want to believe, oh, I hope they're in heaven. But down deep in our heart, we know they're perished into an everlasting torment forever and ever. And what's sad about it, I noted this. After a while, we forget about their plight. and we go on like nothing ever happened. It's sad when our family members who are not prepared, not saved, they die, they're plunged into hell's fire. They miss out on what we could have, they missed out on what could have been the greatest day of their life. Can you imagine coming to the end of your life and you could have the greatest day of your life by opening your eyes in heaven? And instead of opening up your eyes to heaven, having the greatest day of your life, you end up in the torment with hell. At death, entering the splendor of heaven, instead of entering the eternal blackness and darkness of the dungeon of hell, people need to prepare so they don't go there. Listen, people that don't trust Christ as their Savior, they'll regret with tears throughout eternity that they died and entered into hell's eternity. We'll shed some tears at their coffin, at the gravesite, but we soon forget their eternal destiny. We soon forget their cries that are crying up from the ground. We forget their torment. We forget their eternal pain. We forget their eternal plight. They're unchangeable and forever sealed. They are there. Then they have no rest day or night. And we soon forget that. Well, we shouldn't, because that should make us want to warn people, to love people, to come to Christ. Are you still with me? The lost will forever remember the greatest day that they could have had, if they would have only trusted Christ as their Savior. And I want to read 2 Timothy 4, 6, and 7. For I am now ready. Are you ready? Are you ready for that great day coming ahead? For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. Paul said, hey, man, I'm ready to die. I've got my faith in Christ. I've served Him. I've loved Him. I've been separated. I've been faithful. I'm ready to go. I fought the fight. I ran in the race. I wonder, could all of us say that tonight? You say, yeah, I can. Yeah, usually the Sunday night and the Wednesday night church people, that's your most faithful night, faithful people. You say, why are you preaching to me, preacher? I want you to keep staying in the race. Listen to me. Paul said, I fought a good fight. The Apostle Paul looked forward to the... He looked forward. He said, look at that verse. For I am ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He looked forward to the greatest day of his life. He couldn't wait to get out of here, Eddie. I'm ready. He knew he had the greatest day of his life coming up when he departed. He looked back on his earthly life with no regret. I fought a good fight. I did it without waver. He was ready to meet God. He had no regrets. He used his life to serve the Savior. He didn't waste his life away for foolish things. You know, I truly believe, although Christians will not have the regret of hell's fire, many will have the regret of a broken heart in tears because they regretted they wasted a lot of their life. There's a song that years ago, wasted years. Wasted years, wasted years. Oh, how foolish. Have you gone on through life? Wasted years. And it goes on, turn around, turn around. God is calling. He's calling you from a life of wasted years. Oh, I hope you Christians tonight to hear me, and those that weigh by this medium through the internet, I pray that anyone who hears this message will consider their life and say, am I wasting my life? If you are, may God speak to you tonight, and may you say, I'm going to turn my life around, and I'm not going to waste it anymore. At the end of your life, will you be able to say, I fought a good fight, I finished my course? Listen, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul was taken up in the paradise. He says, verse 1, it's not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above. Didn't say about, because he was above. He was above. He was in heaven. Above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell. Whether out of the body, this is where he was in the book of Acts. He was taken out in stone. and they were left for, he was left for dead, and that soul and spirit left his body, but ever that silver cord was not cut, so he came back in. And I cannot tell, God knoweth, such one cup in the third heaven. There's three heavens. The first heaven's where the birds fly. Second heaven's where the stars are. And the third heaven is God's abode. Heaven itself, where God reigns. And I knew a man, such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. Well, his body was on the ground, but his soul and spirit was out of his body. God knoweth how that, look at verse 4, how that he was caught up in the paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for man to utter. He said, I couldn't even, it's so wonderful in heaven, I couldn't describe it to you. In 1 Corinthians 2:9, he says, but as is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered the heart of man. Nothing's entered the heart of man. The things which God had prepared for them that love him. Let me read you what I wrote. Paul said heaven was so wonderful and so full of splendor that heaven could not be put in man's mortal words. Heaven was so spectacular that heaven could not be described. Heaven could not be described, even imagined. Man could not even imagine the greatness of heaven. We can't grasp it. It's beyond us even grasping how great heaven is. Man. Paul actually saw it. God gave him a glimpse. He brought him back. Paul says, man, you ain't going to believe this thing's out of this world. Now, all that for this one thought. How many believe Paul thought heaven was spectacular and beyond man's comprehension, beyond description? Beyond description, beyond man's imagination, beyond man's grasp to even try to understand how great it is. I believe the Apostle Paul was trying to prepare and tell us who are saved. When you read those scriptures about heaven, I believe he's saying this: get ready for the greatest day of your life. I believe when he's saying that, Brother Brian, he's saying, man, I can't describe it, it's too phenomenal. All I can tell you is, get ready for the greatest day of your life. Amen. When you open up your eyes in heaven, you're going to experience the greatest day of your life. Now, I know when you get there, time will be elapsed and there won't be no day. But use it as an illustration, that's going to be the greatest day of your life. Amen. The day you step out of your earthly body, mortal body, and die and enter into God's eternal home, that's going to be the greatest day of your life. Now, I'm going to give you a thought about this. I'm getting near the end. Oh, yes, it was great when I got saved. But that wasn't the greatest day of my life. Because after I got saved, I still had a lot of headaches, heartaches, pain, suffering, sorrow, trials. Hello? After I got saved? Now, the day I trusted Jesus my Savior, watch. The day I trusted was a very important day, which I lived here. Because that day, it made it possible, it prepared me to go and have the greatest day of my life. The day of my salvation prepared me to have the greatest day of my life. Lizzie, after you got saved, you still had a lot of heartaches. Just living with Eddie, you got heartaches and headaches. Stay with me. I want you to get this, D. When you enter heaven, though, D, when we leave here and you leave and enter, do you think you're ever going to have any more heartaches? No. You see, Robert, when we die and leave this world, all the sorrow and heartaches and trials are forever behind us. Oh, I'm glad I'm saved and thank God for my salvation, because without that day of salvation, I wouldn't have the greatest day coming up. The day of my salvation prepared me so I could have that great day. Made it possible so I could have that great day. Because, but Ronnie, when I step out of this time and enter into heaven,
all the heartache, all the broken tears, all the suffering, it's going to be forever gone, forever. That's going to be the greatest day of my life. You're right. That's right. You just got to pass them to get it in. How many of you are still with me? Listen. Listen to me. When I leave this earthly world with all its sin and sorrow and leave behind all of my troubles and cares forever and enter into God's eternal splendor of heaven with Jesus, that's the greatest day of my life. And by the way, if you're saved, it'll be the greatest day of your life. Now, none of it would have been possible had you not received Christ as your Savior. I'm not lightening that. I mean, that's the key to having the day. That's the ticket that made it possible. How many are following what the preacher's trying to show you? So I close with these thoughts. And you here, and you that are listening by way of the internet, let me pose this question to you. Do you have the greatest day to look forward to? Mac, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward for Jesus to call us up in the rapture. Or I'm going to die and go up there with him. Either way, I'm going up. I'm looking forward to it. Do you have that day? Listen, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you don't have that. Lost people don't have that, Eddie. Brian, they don't have that day to look forward to. Matter of fact, they got a day of dread coming for eternity if they don't get saved. That's why we got to say, listen, while there's time, while there's still time, you got to get saved. Have you made preparation to die? Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ? If you haven't put your faith in Christ, you need to do it tonight. Don't wait another day because you don't know if you have another day. And Christians, when you die, will you have regrets of a wasted life? Or will you be rejoicing like the Apostle Paul? Will you say, I have fought a good fight. I finished my course. I'll leave you with this thought. Some say, preacher, if I could just live my life over again, I would live it different. How many have ever heard that? Boy, if I could just do it over again, I'd do it different. Well, if you could change something, let me pose this to you. If you could change something right now in your life, what would you change? If there's something in your life right now that you could change, what would you change? You still have time to change it because you haven't seen death yet. I noted. Then if you have something you could change and you want to be different, then start right now. Start right now. Decide and make that change right now, tonight. Make a decision. I'm going to make that change. This is something I've been wasting my life with. I'm going to make my life come for God. You know one thing I want? Listen, your life will end and you'll end with regret. Oh, you might be saved, but are you going to end it with regret? One thing I want to get to the teenagers. I thank God for our teenagers here and the young people. Man, live your life for Christ. Doesn't mean you have to be a preacher. But no matter what you are, a family man and a father and whatever you are, live it for Christ. Make your life count for Christ. Don't throw your life away. I've pastored for over 25 years. I've watched Christian people just throw their life away. And Debbie and Rod, they make all kinds of excuses. You pastors, you know, I mean, I could write a book on excuses. Matter of fact, the cathedrals sing a song, excuses, excuses. I hear them every day. He forgot to shake my hand. There will be no excuses when we stand before God. He'll say, why didn't you do it? Man, don't have a regret. When you, first of all, make sure you're saved. Get excited about the greatest day of your life. The greatest day of life is not when you got married. It's not when you graduated. Although those, not the day you had your first baby. All those are great days. They're one of their spectacular days. But I'm going to tell you, the greatest day of anyone's life is when they die and open up their eyes in the splendor of heaven. That's the greatest day of anyone's life. And the only way that makes it possible is if you've trusted Christ as your Savior. Can you imagine people going through life, Bobby, and never trusting Christ as their Savior? They'll never know. They'll never know that they could have had the greatest day of their life. They forfeited it. They lose out. Don't lose out, because that day's coming. That day will definitely come. And when it comes, the reality will set in. You either open up your eyes in heaven or you open your eyes in hell, but the reality will set in. It'll either be the greatest day of your life or the most horrendous day that ever happened to you. Jesus wants your life to be blessed. Turn to Him. Put your faith in Him. Trust Him as your Savior. And Christian, live for Him. While you got time, live for Him. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. I love to play sports. I played sports all my life until I got older and got in the ministry. Man, I loved playing ball. I took out a picture the other day and showed some of the folks over there at the Memorial Day. I took a picture out when I first got married with Rosie. I was 158 pounds, and I showed people my picture. It was when I was just one person. And I could hit a ball and run. And oh, Steve, I'd love to play baseball. I love it. I went and bought a brand new glove this year. I still got desire to come out and play ball. I bought a brand new glove. Not giving up my hope, amen? But I remember, I'm going to say this to help you young fellas, there were days where they played ball and I went to Bible college. There were days they played ball and I went to visitation. There were days they played ball and I went to church. There were the days that they played ball and I just did the work of God. Not against playing ball, but I don't want to take my whole life. If all I can show for my life is sports at the end of my life, I had to choose what was more important. Living a whole life of sports or giving my life to Christ. By the way, I'm not against sports. I think people ought to play them. But I don't think they should be your God. I think they're good for leisure time and actually have some spare time. But I don't think they should control your life. I hope you're not misunderstanding what I'm saying. The old man can't run fast like he used to. And I don't know if I can crank the ball over those fences like I used to. I still think I can out-hit most people. It's probably just in my mind, though. And learn from me. Don't tell me I can't. My hair's gray now. I never became a professional baseball player. Never hit one on a Tiger Stadium or Yankee Stadium. But I'm so glad I went to the plate for God. I'm so glad I gave Christ my life. Me and Bud will just keep going and watching the arrows and having fun watching them, won't we, Bud? At the end of my life, I want to say, God, I gave it all I had. I did the best I could. I failed you. I messed up. Made a lot of mistakes. But I did the best I could. I hope you want to say that same thing.
Don't throw your life away. Don't get caught up in all those video game machines and all that stuff that scares me. The generation we live today, they'll spend 6, 8, 10 hours a day on those little machines. I should be stopping it. Hey, Jimmy, you know why the preacher can quote hundreds of scriptures? I'll tell you why I can quote hundreds of scriptures. Because when I was a young kid in my 20s, all I did was memorize scripture. And I'd write it down and look it again and write it again. And every time I talked to people, I'd look the scripture, even though I knew it, I'd keep looking at it. And I just kept putting it in my mind. A lot of times I forget people's names, but you know what, Eddie? God's been good to me. I haven't forgot the scripture. I'm amazed I can't even pull little Mandy's name up sometimes, but I have no trouble pulling up scripture. Keep working for God. Keep running those bus routes. Keep telling people about Jesus. Because the greatest day of your life is coming. And when it comes, don't you want to be ready? Ready, prepared. Prepared because you know Christ is your Savior. And ready because you're not ashamed. I'll stop with this. 1 John 2:28. John said, "And my little children," he was talking to God's kids, "abide in him." So when he appears, 1 John 2:28, when he appears, you'll not be ashamed at his coming. I just don't want to be ashamed, Carl. I want him to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." The greatest day of my life is not here yet. It's when I'm going to die and go to heaven or the rapture. I'm looking forward to going to heaven. How about you? When we go to heaven, Robert, it'll be the greatest day of our life. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the great truth that one day the Christian has the greatest day of their life to look forward to. A day that we stop breathing on this earth and we literally leave and open up our eyes in the presence of God, in the splendor of heaven. But we'll no more heartache, no sorrow. If it's the rapture, we're going to have a brand new body then. And throughout all eternity. What's great about that day? It never will end. The greatest day of our life will never end because when we come to that greatest day, when we get there, God has no night. And that day, the greatest day of our life, will last forever. Oh, how we've had great trips and vacations, but they all ended. People say all good things have to come to an end. They won't come to an end when we get to heaven. It'll be endless. And the greatest day of our life will be when we pass from this life into the splendor of God. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed,